Good morning, Winnipeg. Good morning, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live this morning on our social, on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good morning, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. With Dave Manouk at the arena, I am your host, Drew Mindell. Dave, it was a really, really long game.
Clearly.
Look what happened to me. I grew hair again. That's how long tonight's game went. That's all the way crazy. Until the 6 minute and 52 second mark of overtime.
I'd like to know why you ran. I would like to know why you randomly have a wig at your disposal.
You don't have a wig in your house at all times?
Well, funny, I actually have some of my Baba's old wigs, but you know, that was for a different time.
Okay, well, I'm not going to touch on that one at all, but at the very least, you know, I don't know why I have this wig either. I have this wig for, I'm sure I got it for a Halloween costume or something, but I decided to pull it out because the game went that long, and I tweeted about this. Somebody just, were you guys dipping into the HGH again? I was saying that, I tweeted this, that, you know, the most memorable game of the Winnipeg Jets 2.0 was game three, and that lasted for all of 24 hours, 26 hours, as the Winnipeg Jets somehow pull off a 4-3 triple overtime victory over the Edmonton Oilers. They win the series, as we all expected, undoubtedly, in a clean sweep of the Oilers, 4-0, Dave, and the Winnipeg Jets are through to the second round, and I can assure you that mercifully they are hoping that the Leafs and the Montreal Canadiens series somehow goes 9 or 11 games after tonight's marathon.
Yeah, that was it was sloppy. Poppy was a little sloppy.
You can't blame the guy.
That was intense, but you know, at the end of the day, all you needed to do was get Kyle Connor the puck, and he seemed to have fairly fresh legs, relatively speaking, but I got to tell you guys, like, how does Darnell Nurse play? Did he play 56 minutes?
I mean, I don't know what it ended up as. Let me open up the – I mean, I think it was probably more than that. It was – hang on. I got it right here. I mean, Darnell Nurse was – I mean, he, you know, 62 minutes and 7 seconds of playing time tonight. 51 of that at even strength. I mean, that's not – I mean, that's more than human. I mean, that's beyond what you can expect from a human being. I mean, this was a game that we will all remember. Absolutely every last one of us will remember what we witnessed tonight. Every last one of us is still trying to get over what we witnessed last night. And then they come back and say, you know, how can you improve on that? What can you do for an encore? Well, they did this for an encore, a triple overtime game, back and forth, goals being scored, leads being given up. What an absolutely unbelievable hockey game. And you know, look, the Oilers lost the series. There's no question about that. But it's hard to say that one of these teams, that the Oilers, you know, lost this game. The Jets won the game. I don't think that the Oilers lost it, given the marathon, given the absolute craziness that we witnessed tonight. And obviously, you're at the rink still. You're saluting some of your colleagues who are departing or whatever's going on there. So that explains a little bit of your,
I've also invited a special guest, so we'll see if he's going to join us in the chat. We'll see if he will be coming in very soon.
Okay, well, we will see about that. In any event, nice to see so many of you still with us on this. What day is it now? It's now Tuesday morning. It's 1:15 in the morning. It is Tuesday morning, and let's talk about tonight's game. So the Jets, you know, get off to an early lead. You know, it was last night, I guess, at this point in time. Mark Scheifele opens the scoring for the Winnipeg Jets on the power play at the 6:16 mark. It was the pass from Blake Wheeler, the seam pass, the pass that, you know, everybody knows the pre-scout is try and take that pass away from the Winnipeg Jets. In that instance, it works. Scheifele with the one-timer, an absolute bullet, and the Jets have the early 1-0 lead, Dave.
I mean, it's funny. It had vintage, if you remember Mark Scheifele's goal against the Anaheim Ducks in the 2015 playoffs.
Yeah.
It had vintage Mark Scheifele, memories. That's what I was thinking of. I looked. He went top right corner in 2015. But still, I mean, he looked like a player who came out to play tonight. I thought he had a particularly good game for the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, he made a couple of defensive gaffes that could have very easily ended up in the back of the Jets net, but I thought offensively he was really, you know, firing on all cylinders. And you know, I mean, that's what you need. You need Mark Scheifele to be one of your best players. You need Blake Wheeler. I thought he also had a strong game. Beautiful seam pass to Mark Scheifele, like you just said, true. So You know, those are the guys that you needed to be the drivers of this team. And ultimately, at the end of the day, the role players help, but it's always important to get your big horses to lead the way.
Absolutely. Do you mind if I take this off? It's really hot under this thing.
Okay. It's freaking me out. I thought how long is this bit gonna last? Like, take the hat off.
I've never worn a wig, believe it or not. I'm not a toupee guy, but it is definitely warm wearing that thing, and it's 1:15 in the morning, and I'm pretty sure everybody's gone delirious, and it's absolute chaos everywhere, given what we've had happen over the last 48 or a little more than 48 hours, I guess, at this point in time. And I just lost Dave. So there you go. It's going to be one of those nights. Nice to see so many of you on this Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here on the Illegal Curve post-game show. I am Drew Mandel. Not sure where Dave Minuk just went, but I think he may have lost connection. There, you're back. Yes. You had enough of me already?
No, I hit the wrong button. I was cleaning somebody. Let me tell you something. All I could think about this entire time was how much work and how long I'm going to be up. 1:15. I have no idea how long.
This I think show you froze. Yep. There you go.
I still have to do the morning papers. A lot of work to do still, and it's already 1:15 in the morning. So it's going to be something already.
I'll tell you what, as I said last night when it was about maybe 11:15, heavy is the head that wears the crown. I did not expect that I would have to say it tonight at 1:15 in the morning, given everything that we witnessed. So Scheifele opens the scoring for the Jets. Connor McDavid, who I thought had his best game of the series, which might be damning with faint praise a little bit, ties it up, a minute and 17 seconds later. Just a beautiful wraparound. I mean, McDavid just showing off the skill and the talent that really, uniquely has in this game with that wraparound goal. No real chance for anybody on the Winnipeg Jets, and it's 1-1 at that point in time. And you're like, okay, both teams are now settling into this game. Both teams are trying to have got their legs underneath them, and it's going to be an entertaining game. I wondered after Scheifele opened the scoring if the Oilers were going to wilt. If they were going to sort of collapse based on what happened last night, giving up the early goal to the Jets, but they didn't. To their credit, they fought all game long. And, it's sort of ironic, Dave. We talked about all series long, and even before the series, what did we talk about? Well, we talked about the depth, and we talked about how the Jets have the advantage in depth. And you got to see that really in a crystal clear manner in overtime. In overtime one, in overtime two, and in overtime three, because the Oilers basically played, Darnell Nurse the entire time. They were down to two lines and four defensemen. The Jets shortened their bench as well, but at least they still had, three forward lines going. They still had Matthew Perreault that they could cycle in, and then they had, the six defensemen for the most part that they could play, throughout the course of the game. That's the difference in this game. I mean, the Jets' depth really showed itself towards the end of this game in that they were able to continue to play a lot of their roster come overtime when the Oilers were just down to an absolute decimated lineup and Darnell Nurse. I don't know how he's standing, if he is standing anywhere in the Oilers dressing room right now.
No, he's got the electrolytes flowing, I would imagine, to get his body back into shape, because I mean, I can't even imagine what he's put himself through to, like I said, to play the way he did. And you're right, Dave Tippett shortened the bench. He right after the Ethan Bear giveaway that led to the game time goal, the third pairing of the Oilers didn't see the ice again, I think. It was quite the message sending. And I thought to myself, well, it's a good message, but you're going to kill the rest of your team right now. And again, what ends up happening is the Jets, there were both teams had chances. And the overtime, like, you're sitting there and you're watching this, and it's so weird. It's such a weird experience, I have to tell you. Being inside a building, and I said it last night, and like, think about it tonight. Like, you come back. It wasn't as dramatic a comeback, obviously, but you come back in the game, you win it in triple overtime, and like, this place would be like Party Central. People would be going crazy, and it's. So I don't want to say it was anticlimactic, because it's still, you can still hear the whooping, and it's a different sort of celebration. But very unusual to be in this building right now without fans and without people cheering. And the fans came and they did that honking parade thing again.
Yeah.
And that's a nice, obviously it's a nice touch, and it's a nice effort. And the players have talked, about Pierre-Luc Dubois said that in his availability this morning about that idea of, getting goosebumps, seeing all the people, celebrating the Jets, where in any manner that which they could. But at the same time, like I said, there's a bit of a, I don't want to say it doesn't cast a pall, but it just changes what you would experience with this whole building erupting like it normally would in an overtime game of this magnitude to win the series and to sweep the Oilers. And I said it in our final tweet of the day. I said, you know, they exercise.
Which day?
Well, yeah, that's okay. They exercise the demons of the Jets 1.0, you know, for the first time beating the Oilers in a playoff series, not including obviously the WHL days, but just referencing the NHL 1.0 Winnipeg Jets. And so for the first time in, you know, seven series, they finally get that win. And what a win it was. And I think it just comes down to what we talked about throughout the course. And to your point, the point you made earlier, I think it's interesting. I actually thought the first 10 minutes were going to be so critical for this series and for this game, I mean, sorry, because when the Jets scored, to your point, Wilton, I thought, okay, well, maybe we'll see an Oilers team kind of, you know,
wilt, sort of, yeah. You know, yeah, they just say that, you know, the silver, you know, a combination of the Jets getting an early goal tonight, plus a combination of how they lost the game last night, that they would just sort of be like, okay, you know, it's too much. It's enough, you know, the pressure, not the pressure, but just the combination of the heartbreak and the early goal would just be too much for them to handle. But to their credit, they fought right through it. I mean, I'm looking at the post-game tweets coming through from our friends, and Blake Wheeler, you know, calls the Jets' margin of error razor thin in the series, says Edmonton could have won any of those games. Mm-hmm. He's right. Look, these were four one-goal games. Take away the two empty netters in game one. Three of the four went into overtime, which is, I mean, incredible in and of itself, of course. Yeah. And you know, it was a razor-thin series. Now, the Jets don't have to apologize for coming out on the right side of that razor. And it's probably a common – and the reason – I mean, I can't point to one specific reason necessarily, but that there was, you know, the fact that the Winnipeg Jets had the depth necessary to handle the Oilers and to be on the right side of that razor.
All right, let's bring our guest in. You can keep talking, but let's bring our guest. Got to bring in
there
Jesse Pollock.
From Bar Down, from TSN's Bar Down, Jesse Pollock joining us 2:22 in the morning in Toronto, if I'm not mistaken. Jesse, you are well known, of course, through your Bar Down work and as you're, you know, a huge Winnipeg Jets fan. We've known you for many years. Just sort of what's going through. I mean, I see a bottle of some scotch, I think, behind you on the shelf there.
Okay. First of all, I know the the camera's always kind of reversed, so I didn't mean to show that, but that was my roommate's birthday gift. But boys, oh my god, that was absolutely insane.
Did you wake up any of your roommates?
My roommate slept out tonight because he knew that it was going to be a loud one here. He knew it was going OT, and he knew we were winning an OT.
Well, that your roommate is very wise in that case. Certainly knowing that. Well, I mean, look. I mean, Jesse, you were there for 1.0. You're a little younger than we are, but certainly, you know the trials and tribulations of this Winnipeg Jets franchise, particularly as it pertains to the Edmonton Oilers. So, you know, Dave mentioned it. It's sort of, you know, you're casting away demons tonight, you know, to some extent, given, you know, all the history of the Winnipeg Jets, and to win this series in the dramatic way that they've won games two, games three, and game four. Just your thoughts about everything that you've seen.
Yeah, casting away the demons. And here we are all these years later thinking like, oh, McDavid is going to do to the Jets what Gretzky did to the Jets back in the day. And we shut him down. I don't know what came over our defense lately, but they were phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Obviously just doing hellebuck things. And I feel like the Jets just, we needed that slump going into the playoffs. I don't know. It was like a kick in the butt. And we're buzzing right now. And I hope we get the Leafs personally.
Really, you want the Leafs? You think you can handle Toronto with in a Leafs Jets series?
Can they handle me, Drew? That is the question.
So, Jesse, what were the ranges of emotions, though? I mean, I was just talking about how OT was so crazy because, you know, there's no fans in here. But what was it like for you, just watching remotely and like Drew said, so invested in this team to watch that OT and then finally see the OT winner by Kyle Connor?
Oh well, first of all. It was a bit of a battle staying awake. Like, I gotta be up for work in like 4 hours, but like, whatever. I'm like more awake than I was before the game even started. But yeah, it was just an incredible. I mean, I actually took the full weekend off. I took the Friday off too, which I don't typically do, just get 4 days off, and I'm glad I did. I was just talking with my brother Ethan about it. Like, that was just like the best stretch of hockey most enjoyable stretch of hockey I've ever experienced. I probably speak on behalf of all Jets fans, and the emotions were just insane. Like, I mean, overtime playoff hockey, like, that's what personally, like, you know, all of us, we dream. Like, when I was a kid, I was just like, man, I wish my city had a team where, like, I could stay up late and watch overtime hockey. And, like, that happened 3 times in a row.
Jesse Pollock from TSN's Bar Down, huge Winnipeg Jets fan, joining us from Toronto, where it is 2:25 in the morning. We're talking about, of course, the Winnipeg Jets victory tonight over the Edmonton Oilers, 4-3. Not one overtime, not two overtimes, three overtimes it took at the 6:52 mark. Kyle Connor scores the winner for the Winnipeg Jets. They sweep the series and the Jets move on to the second round. Dave Minuk, you know, was in the building, obviously. And Dave, you know, there's obviously nobody in the building with you aside from other media members. Just sort of like, again, I asked you this yesterday to sort of walk us through the what was going on in the building when the Jets made the comeback. What was going on in the building tonight throughout the overtimes and then with the winner from Kyle Connor?
Well, I mean, look, nobody sits in the press box and cheers, but you still can get excited, whether it's a play from the Oilers or play from the Jets. You're still, you know, someone who enjoys hockey, so you can't help but react. So you're not going to cheer. You're not going to get up out of your seat and be like, okay, great, this is a great play, because, of course, you can't do that when you're trying to be impartial. But at the same time, you can appreciate good hockey plays, and I think that's what a lot of people do. So, you know, our boy Kenny Weeb, he's kind of a beauty, as Jesse would say, and he's very expressive. And so, you know, Kenny's often yelling, and, you know, here's a shot, here's a goal, here's a. So you kind of get a little amped up. You're like, oh, Kenny's got the call. It's like listening to Paulie Edmonds do play by play. So, you know, you can pay attention to some things that are happening. But yeah, you're right. It's like I was saying before, it's not going to be the same without fans. And so it's the players' excitement is one thing. You can kind of see how, you do appreciate that. You do appreciate what you can hear. When they say, oh, you know, no fucking way, if there's a call that they don't like, that kind of stuff is clearly transmitted to you. But yeah, it's such a different atmosphere inside the building without fans. I mean, you know, there's a privilege you feel because there's probably 50 people inside of here watching this game, and I'm one of them. So that's kind of a cool experience. But you know, it's funny when work can also be like a fun experience in that sort of idea. So. No, it was interesting, but again, it's just never going to be the same without fans.
Jesse, you know, obviously this, you know, the overtime after overtime after overtime, never mind the end of regulation when it's a tie game, you know, what's going through you? And, you know, obviously the adrenaline is pumping, you're buzzing and everything else. You know, the edge of the seat probably wasn't even necessary, because are you a sitting down kind of guy for overtime? Or are you a guy who's wandering and sort of pacing throughout an overtime like we witnessed tonight?
Definitely the latter. Just on the edge of the seat, just like getting up, jumping up at every opportunity. Honestly, like, the Oilers had so many good chances in that second OT. I was like, I couldn't believe we got out of it. But all I kept thinking was like, let's just end it tonight. Like, it'd be so good for us. Oilers can rest up a bit. PLD can rest up a little bit. It would just be so nice. Let Toronto and Montreal just go at each other. Hope that series goes 7 games. And when the winner of that series comes out, we are going to be more than ready for them. Like, oh, I don't know. There's a special feeling with the Jets right now. The fact that we just went out and swept the Oilers, like, what? That's crazy.
Now, when you go to work tomorrow, and some of your bar down comrades, are any of them Oilers fans? Or, I mean, is anybody going to give you grief, or are you going to be able to walk up there, you know, sort of got that good look, that good strut going on, saying, yeah, that's just what happened. You know, what are you going to do about that?
Okay, so funny, we were actually discussing on the Bar Down team how there is not an Oilers fan. We don't have anyone from Edmonton, but still, I mean, people are still giving me the gears all the time about anything. But you know, I'm gonna be feeling really confident tomorrow in our 9:30 Zoom meeting. I'll tell you that for free.
Now, undoubtedly, you'll be wearing a three-piece suit for that meeting, and you'll be fully, you know, you certainly won't be wearing sweatpants and you know, trying to fake your way through that meeting, I'm sure.
Oh well. I'm going to put on every piece of Jets, you know, every Jets jersey I have, all 7 of them. I'll make sure to wear them to the meeting.
Wow, that is a lot of jerseys.
Guys, I need some illegal curve swag.
Okay, we can hook you up. We'll hook you up with that, Dave. You're gonna work on that. Dave's saying you want a legal curve mask.
I'll see what I can do. I'll see what we can do. We may still have a 5950 hat kicking around, and we've got some toques in the archives. But we're definitely swag is definitely in the next phase of what we're doing. We're still trying to figure out all of this, but yeah, we're definitely gonna start adding some gear for that. For the people who follow Illegal Curve. Jesse, you get it. Of course, because you're always connected to Illegal Curve, so you for sure going to get something.
Of course, Jesse the intern. I got my first opportunity, obviously, with Illegal Curve. I love Illegal Curve, and I don't think I would have even, I would not be in the industry, I don't think, if it wasn't for Illegal Curve. So always grateful for that first opportunity, and I love what you guys do, and love the Jets, and here we are.
Exactly. Here we are. Jesse, it's now 2:30 in the morning. Thanks for jumping on with us. We'll let you, maybe try and get some sleep. I'm not sure how possible that's going to be, but we'll do it again real soon, probably at a more reasonable hour. I told
Jesse he could come on when we have if it ends up being a Jets Leafs series.
Yeah.
Because that would be, of course, that'll be something that's very appropriate for everything he does with Bar Down. I think that'd be great.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's hope it happens.
Alrighty, brother. Thanks for joining us this morning, Jesse. It's bizarre that this is the morning. Congrats. Celebrate all you want, but we'll see you again real soon, buddy.
Good to see you guys. Thanks for having me.
Take care. There he goes. Jesse Pollock, former Winnipegger, TSN Bar Down. You know him, of course, as a huge Winnipeg Jets fan and all of his great work that he does with the good folks at Bar Down. Dave Manuk, Drew Mandel, it is 1:31 in the morning, Central Time. The Winnipeg Jets victorious tonight over the Edmonton Oilers, a four-game series sweep. Kyle Connor wins it for the Jets in the third overtime. And Dave, I don't think we can talk enough about Mark Scheifele's performance tonight. He comes back, after having sort of a quiet couple games, in my perspective. He opens the scoring for the Winnipeg Jets in the first period. And then he ties the game with a wicked wrist shot after a terrible giveaway by Ethan Bear. That's at the six-minute mark of the third period. No other scoring for the next, two and a half, three periods at that point in time. But Mark Scheifele really stepping up huge for the Winnipeg Jets in tonight's contest.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And Blake Wheeler deserves, huge credit on both his goals because, first of all, the seam pass on the first goal was beautiful. And on the tying goal in the third period, that he made the steal of the Bear pass, which was inexplicable. And then he got the puck over to Kyle Connor, who got it over to Mark Scheifele, who berated the shot. So, there's no question. But there's no question about it that he. What's wrong?
I'm just reading a quote. This is a beauty one from Jets captain Blake Wheeler after he took the shot where you don't want to take a shot. This is the quote again from our buddy Murat Ateş. Quote: "I've got three beautiful kids. We're not having any more. So what the hell?" Because I mean, boy, oh boy, that was a prime example of, a hockey player, an athlete, just doing everything they possibly can and sacrificing themselves to the nth degree to get a win and to make sure that your team is to keep the lead or to reduce the lead or whatever it was. Blake Wheeler sacrificing the ultimate package, if you pardon the pun there, for the Winnipeg Jets after taking that shot right where you don't want to take that shot.
Well, and it's interesting, Drew, because of course, we're watching everything in real time. So we have the benefit of cameras above the, you can see them actually behind me. There's cameras on the girders. So we get a chance to see the replays. But the interesting thing from that was that we were all convinced it hit him in the wrist. I was like, when I first looked at it, I was like, "Oh, he got smoked in the wrist. That sucks." And then, but the way he reacted, I was a little surprised. And then I thought, okay, whatever. And then we watched the replay a few more times. I think our buddy Scott Billick from Winnipeg Sun, he sent out a clearer video. And as soon as I realized what had happened, I went, "Oh, you feel it. You can feel it, up here in the press box." And you can only imagine what he went through. But the guy, I got to give the guy credit. He's tough as nails. I mean, he takes that shot off the cojones and continues to roll. So it was a big night for the captain, and I think he played a significant role in that win.
I'll tell you what. Once Kyle Connor scores there, to win the series, the pain quickly goes away. Now, the pain might come back tomorrow. I would not be surprised if, you know, you're walking a little gingerly tomorrow. But if you're going to, if you're going to block a shot with that part of your body, you might as well go out and win the game. That's sort of my thinking on the whole thing. You know, it's one thing to sacrifice and then lose, and then it really hurts even more. But, you know, when you go out and you make that sacrifice and then Kyle Connor gets the winner, the pain goes away for at least the next few hours at the very least. But I mean, look, Blake Wheeler was a guy who took a lot of criticism this year for his play, and now that we understand that he was injured, you know, for a long portion of the season, and his struggles there sort of become a little more clear, but he's certainly stepped up and been the captain that the Winnipeg Jets need during this playoffs. You know, four games in a row, the Jets are going to be, whenever the next series starts, and it won't start before Saturday, I can guarantee you that, because the Leafs and Habs play tomorrow, and then they play Thursday. So the earliest that series can wrap up is Thursday, and then
thank God we got that Vancouver Calgary series. We can have all these playoff back to backs. That made a lot of sense.
Yeah, well, you got to make sure that they finish that meaningless 56 game regular season, no questions asked. But you know, obviously, the Jets will now get a much-needed number of days off, because they played, you know, even though it was only technically a four-game sweep, they probably played closer to five games of hockey, especially the three, you know, almost four games in 3 nights, as it were, with tonight's effort and all the overtimes, and what was a three-game and four-night turned into be a four-game and four-night. So the Jets will be off until at least Saturday, maybe even longer, and I think the Jets will certainly enjoy that time off the ice. Connor Hellebuck certainly was tremendous. I mean, you can't say enough about Connor Hellebuck. He outplayed Mike Smith. Now, that's not me saying Mike Smith was poor in this series, because he wasn't, but Mike Smith just in games, you know, 1, 2, 3, and 4, just gave up that one goal that he couldn't. And that's the difference in the series. It is really, as Blake Wheeler said, a razor-thin margin between the Jets and the Oilers, and that's resulting in the Jets moving forward, and the Edmonton Oilers now having a lot of questions that they'll need to answer this offseason about how they improve and how they move forward at this point. And you know what's sort of nice from my perspective? The Jets and the Oilers aren't going to play each other likely in the playoffs, you know, very often again. So the Jets can have bragging rights over their playoff time for the next little while at the very least.
Yeah, I see a lot of people complaining about the panel. Now, of course, because I'm here, I don't really see it. But
the panel was embarrassing tonight. I mean, I don't usually like to criticize, fellow broadcasters. But it was either the first intermission or the second intermission that they didn't even mention the Jets. The entire intermission panel was about McDavid and his intensity, and they were showing that he was mad at Puljujarvi, and that's when Puljujarvi got pulled off their line and Kyler Yamamoto got put on the line because, you know, Puljujarvi made a mistake or he didn't field a pass cleanly, whatever it was. But they went an entire intermission with not even mentioning the Jets. They spent way too much time talking about Kevin Bieksa scoring in triple overtime 10 years ago. Like, anybody who's watching the game gives a damn about that. I'm thinking to myself, you know, when I watch the NFL, and I'm a huge football fan, as you know, Dave, I don't recall, you know, in the Super Bowl in Kansas City and Tampa Bay, them talking about what Howie Long did for the Los Angeles Raiders 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. If you can't focus on the game that's happening in front of you, get off my television, with all due respect. And I know that that isn't necessarily – it's not the broadcasters themselves who make those decisions. This comes from producers, and this comes, I think, heavily from the hand of Ron McLean. But it needs to be rejigged badly, because it's embarrassing to the viewer. Well, I think it's embarrassing to hockey fans who actually want analysis of what they have witnessed for the past 20 minutes. And if you can't do that, that's fine. Maybe those are your limitations. Just move along and get somebody who can actually talk about the hockey game for the, you know, 5 to 7 minutes that the panel segment actually lasts during the intermission.
Yeah, again, like I said, I didn't hear it because either I'm usually working when I'm at home, covering a game, or I'm here and I wouldn't obviously hear it. But I've been getting a lot of emails and I've been seeing a lot of – it's kind of like trying to figure out who Corey was for the first few days. But there's been a lot of comments, and I know people wanted to talk about that a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate for sure. That's an unfortunate thing. But, hey, guys, guess what? That's why you've got the Illegal Curve post game show.
That's right. Because
this is your outlet to do nothing but talk about the Winnipeg Jets.
You know what this is going to result in? This is somehow going to result in the Illegal Curve intermission show. And then we're all going to get, I'm going to get divorced. Ezzy's going to get divorced. Yes. You, me, and Ezzy are going to move into a three-bedroom apartment. And this is going to be our lives for the rest of our life. Well, and with all due respect, as much as I love you guys, I like my kids a little bit more. And I like my wife a little bit more than you guys, too.
Well, I was going to say, like, it sounds okay until you mentioned Ezzy. Who should mention Ezzy is going to be, just to get back to the idea of doing an intermission. Someone tweeted at us saying, you guys need to start doing an intermission. I said, are you out of your, I can't do it. I can't even think about doing it. But no, I mean, that was kind of funny.